You suffer most when you let everything get to you. That's the simple truth. Think about how often small things steal your peace. Someone cuts you off in traffic, and you replay it all day. A friend doesn't text back, and suddenly you feel unwanted. One mistake at work, and you convince yourself you're failing. None of these things should have that much power over your life, but they do because you give it to them. The title of this program says it clearly: How to Stop Letting Anything Affect You. This is not about ignoring problems or pretending life is easy. It's about building the strength to stay steady, no matter what comes your way. It's about training your mind to stop overreacting, stop taking everything personally, and stop carrying stress that isn't yours. If you've ever wished you could stay calm when life gets messy, if you've ever wanted peace that lasts, you are in the right place. What you're about to learn can change the way you think, feel, and live every single day. This is where your freedom begins. Chapter 1. Stop giving power to people who do not value you. Most people spend too much of their life giving away their energy to people who never deserved it in the first place. Think about how many times you have walked away from a conversation feeling drained because you allowed someone's careless words to stick to your mind. Think about the times you felt smaller because you gave weight to the opinion of someone who didn't even respect themselves. This is not just about bad relationships or difficult co-workers. This is about the deeper pattern of constantly giving power to people who do not truly value you. If you want to live strong and unshaken, you must learn how to break this pattern once and for all. The first thing to understand is this: the way someone treats you is not a measurement of your worth. It is only a reflection of their own vision, their own beliefs, and sometimes their own brokenness. Yet, people allow those who devalue them to decide how they feel about themselves. That is giving away power. It's like handing someone the keys to your peace and telling them, "You can drive my emotions anywhere you want." When you realize this, you begin to see how dangerous it is to let the wrong people influence your self-image. You do not need everyone to see your value. You only need to see it yourself. The trap most people fall into is chasing approval. They change how they dress, how they speak, how they act, all to earn the validation of people who will never give it anyway. The more you chase, the less you feel like yourself. This is the fastest way to lose confidence. You lose who you are because you gave your power away. The solution is not to demand respect from those who refuse to give it. The solution is to stop depending on them for anything at all. Power is energy. Every day, you wake up with a limited amount of emotional strength. When you give too much of it to people who criticize, dismiss, or ignore you, you end up empty by the time it's evening. You go to bed tired, not because you worked hard on your goals, but because you wasted your spirit on the wrong battles. This is why it is important to pay attention to who drains you. When you identify those patterns, you can begin to take your energy back. One of the most effective strategies is to stop over-explaining yourself. People who do not value you will twist your words. They will dismiss your explanations, no matter how clear. They are not listening to understand. They are listening to keep you in a place of weakness. Every moment you spend trying to justify yourself to someone who has no respect for you is a moment of power lost. Instead of explaining, redirect that energy to action. Show through your life, not your words, that you know your value. Another key step is to set boundaries without apology. A boundary is simply saying, "This is what I allow, and this is what I don't." People who don't value you will often test those boundaries. They will push back, because your limits interfere with their comfort. If you fold every time someone pushes, you are once again handing them power. But if you stand firm, even when it feels uncomfortable, you are teaching them that your peace is not for sale. Boundaries protect your mind from being ruled by someone else's disregard. It is also important to study your own behavior honestly. Sometimes people give away their power not because of others, but because of habits they have created. If you always need praise to feel worthy, you will cling to anyone who gives it, even if they don't value you. If you always avoid conflict, you will tolerate disrespect just to keep the peace, even though it is slowly destroying your confidence. Facing these patterns is uncomfortable, but growth requires honesty. The more you recognize where you surrender your strength, the easier it becomes to reclaim it. There is a common belief that if you are kind enough, patient enough, or generous enough, eventually people will learn to value you. But this belief keeps many trapped in relationships and environments that are unhealthy. The reality is, kindness cannot force respect, patience cannot create appreciation, generosity cannot guarantee loyalty. Waiting for someone to value you when they have already shown you they do not is another way of giving them control. You deserve to put that energy into yourself, into your future, into the people who actually recognize your worth. When you stop giving power to people who do not value you, you will notice a shift in your emotions. Suddenly, their opinions no longer decide your mood, their words no longer replay in your head at night. Their absence of appreciation no longer defines how you see your efforts. You begin to live lighter, freer, stronger. And the interesting thing is, the less you depend on their approval, the more you start to attract people who truly value you. Why? Because confidence is magnetic, strength is attractive. People respect those who respect themselves. It is also important to understand the difference between rejection and redirection. When someone does not value you, it is not a sign that you are unworthy. It is a sign that your energy is meant to be placed elsewhere. Every time you stop pouring into a person who doesn't appreciate it, you create space for someone who will. This is why taking back your power is not just about protecting your peace. It is about opening the door to better relationships, better opportunities, and a better life. Think about how much more you could achieve if you stopped wasting energy on the wrong people. That energy could go into building your skills, creating stronger habits, improving your health, investing in your dreams. You could finally put your time into what matters most, instead of fighting battles that were never worth fighting. This is the real payoff of protecting your power. You don't just avoid negativity, you create the foundation for growth. Another important truth is this: not everyone will like you, and that is perfectly fine. Too many people ruin their peace by trying to be liked by everyone. But those who do not value you will find reasons to dislike you no matter what you do. You can give your best, and they will still complain. You can show respect, and they will still disrespect. Once you accept that universal approval is impossible, you free yourself from the constant need to chase it. That freedom is one of the most empowering feelings a human can experience. Notice also how people who don't value you often use manipulation. They may make you feel guilty for saying no. They may use silence to punish you. They may minimize your achievements so you stay dependent on their approval. Recognize these patterns for what they are, attempts to keep you under control. The moment you see them clearly, you can refuse to play the game. You can walk away from manipulation, and that is one of the strongest acts of self-respect. Taking your power back doesn't mean becoming cold or uncaring. It means choosing wisely where your energy goes. It means realizing that not every opinion matters. Not every relationship deserves equal effort. Not every voice should echo in your mind. When you become selective, you do not harden your heart, you protect it. You create space for peace, clarity, and true connection. Imagine waking up tomorrow and no longer carrying the weight of other people's disrespect. Imagine walking through the day and not being shaken by dismissive comments. Imagine ending your evening with a sense of calm, because you chose to give your energy only to what mattered. That life is possible, but it begins with the decision to stop giving power to those who don't value you. Every person has the right to decide how their story will unfold. If you continue giving away your strength, you allow others to write your chapters. But if you take it back, you hold the pen in your own hand. You decide the tone of your life. You decide how strong you will be. You decide who gets access to your mind, your emotions, and your energy. That choice is yours, and no one else can make it for you. So today, begin the process of reclaiming what belongs to you. Value yourself enough to stop chasing those who do not care. Respect yourself enough to enforce boundaries. Believe in yourself enough to stop explaining your worth. Your life will transform the moment you take this step. Because when you stop giving power to people who do not value you, you no longer live as a prisoner of their opinion. You live free, strong, and unshakable. Chapter 2. Train your brain to pause before reacting to negativity. Every person has experienced a moment when negativity tried to pull them into a reaction they later regretted. Someone makes a harsh comment, and before you know it, words fly out of your mouth you wish you could take back. A problem shows up, and instead of handling it calmly, you lose your temper or spiral into frustration. These moments seem small, but they hold tremendous power over the quality of your life. The ability to pause before reacting to negativity is one of the strongest skills you can build. It changes the way you handle people, it changes the way you handle challenges, and it changes the way you handle yourself. When negativity comes at you, the natural instinct is to fight back, defend, or push against it. That instinct is wired into the brain for survival. But in today's world, most negativity is not life-threatening. It is words, attitudes, or situations that test your patience. If you train yourself to pause, you interrupt that old instinct and give yourself the space to choose a better response. That pause is not weakness. That pause is strength. It shows you are in charge of your mind, not a slave to your impulses. The pause allows you to see clearly what is happening. Someone criticizes you. In that instant, you can either react with anger or you can pause and ask yourself, does this person's opinion deserve my energy? A situation unfolds that feels unfair. You can either react with frustration or you can pause and ask, what can I control here? Without the pause, you are trapped in automatic reactions. With the pause, you create freedom. You no longer live at the mercy of negativity. To train your brain to pause, you must first build awareness. Negativity often strikes without warning, and the reaction happens so fast that you barely notice. The first practice is to start noticing your triggers. Pay attention to the moments when you feel that rush of emotion. Maybe it's when someone interrupts you. Maybe it's when you feel judged. Maybe it's when life throws unexpected obstacles at you. Identify these patterns, because when you know your triggers, you can prepare yourself for them. Next, practice breathing. It may sound simple, but the breath is one of the fastest ways to create space between stimulus and response. When negativity shows up, take one deep breath before you do anything. That single breath slows down your heart rate and signals to your mind that you are safe. It interrupts the automatic cycle of reaction. With time, this becomes second nature. You will feel the negativity rising, and instead of exploding, you will breathe, pause, and then choose how to move forward. Another strategy is to use questions to redirect your mind. When negativity strikes, instead of reacting immediately, ask yourself questions like, is this worth my peace? Or, will this matter tomorrow? Or, what outcome do I want from this situation? These questions force your brain to shift from reaction to reflection. They remind you that you are in control. Negativity loses its power when you stop feeding it with automatic responses. You must also practice patience with yourself. At first, you may fail often. You may still snap, still argue, still let negativity drag you down. But every time you catch yourself and remind yourself to pause, you are training your mind. Think of it like building muscle. One workout does not transform you, but consistent effort creates lasting change. Over time, the pause becomes natural. You will begin to notice that situations that once upset you no longer control you. People who once irritated you no longer have the same effect. It is equally important to understand that pausing does not mean ignoring problems. Some people mistake calmness for avoidance. But pausing is not about running away. It is about preparing yourself to deal with problems effectively. A calm response is not silence, it is strength. When you pause, you do not suppress your feelings. You manage them, you direct them. You decide how to use them. That is emotional intelligence in action. One of the biggest benefits of pausing is clarity. Negativity clouds the mind. When emotions are high, perspective is low. You cannot see the bigger picture when anger or fear takes over. But when you pause, the fog clears. You can see what matters and what does not. You can separate truth from exaggeration. You can focus on solutions instead of being lost in problems. This clarity helps you make better decisions, protect relationships, and maintain your own mental health. Think of the impact this has on your daily life. Imagine being able to walk away from arguments without feeling the need to have the last word. Imagine being able to hear criticism without letting it ruin your confidence. Imagine facing obstacles without losing your inner peace. These are not distant dreams, they are the natural results of training your brain to pause. Another part of this practice is learning not to take everything personally. Negativity is often a reflection of the other person, not you. Their bad mood, their frustration, their harsh words usually come from their own struggles. When you react instantly, you absorb their negativity. When you pause, you recognize that what they say or do is about them, not you. That realization creates freedom. You can let their negativity pass by without carrying it. You can also train your environment to support your pause. Surround yourself with people who value calmness, not chaos. Read and listen to voices that teach patience and strength. Limit exposure to constant negativity, whether it comes from media, gossip, or toxic conversations. The more you feed your mind with peace, the easier it becomes to pause when life challenges you. Your surroundings shape your reactions more than you realize. Here is another key point. The pause is not just for negativity from others, it is also for negativity from yourself. Sometimes, the harshest voice is the one inside your own head. When you make a mistake, your mind may instantly flood you with criticism. When you face a challenge, your thoughts may tell you that you can't handle it. Pausing gives you space to challenge those inner voices. Instead of reacting to your own negativity, you stop, breathe, and choose a better thought. That shift can change the entire direction of your day. Consistency is what builds mastery. Train your pause in small situations first. When someone cuts you off in traffic, pause before reacting. When a coworker says something careless, pause before responding. When plans fall apart, pause before getting frustrated. These small victories build your mental strength. With practice, you will find yourself naturally pausing even in bigger challenges. This is how you rewire your brain for resilience. Over time, the pause becomes a way of life. You stop rushing into emotional reactions. You stop giving negativity the power to control you. You move with intention, with clarity, with strength. People will notice the difference. They will see that you are not easily shaken. They will realize their negativity cannot pull you down, and you will feel the difference within yourself. The peace, the confidence, the freedom, it all grows stronger with every pause. The truth is, life will always bring negativity. You cannot control what others say or do. You cannot control every obstacle or difficulty, but you can always control your response. And that control begins with the pause. The pause is the gap where power lives. The pause is the space where freedom begins. The pause is your strongest weapon against negativity. So decide today to start training. Every negative moment is an opportunity to practice. Every time you feel triggered, see it as a chance to build strength. Every pause is progress. Every pause is proof that you are growing. Over time, you will realize that nothing outside of you can truly disturb the calm inside you unless you allow it. And when you reach that point, you have built the kind of strength that makes you unshakable. Because the person who can pause before reacting is the person who controls their life. They are no longer a prisoner of moods, circumstances, or negativity. They are free, steady, and powerful. And that is the life you deserve to live.
Chapter 3. Refuse to absorb stress that is not truly yours. Stress is one of the heaviest weights a person can carry, and the truth is that much of it does not even belong to us. Every day people absorb the tension, frustration, and pressure of others without even realizing it. A co-worker unloads their problems onto you, and suddenly you feel anxious though nothing in your own life has changed. A family member complains endlessly, and before long you are carrying their worries as if they were your own. Even scrolling through news or conversations online can fill you with stress that does not directly affect you. The habit of absorbing stress that is not yours is silent but powerful, and unless you learn to refuse it, it will control your mind, your emotions, and eventually your health. The first step is recognizing the difference between caring for others and carrying their burdens. Human beings are wired for empathy. You want to help, you want to be supportive, and you want to show that you care. But empathy turns into self-destruction when you begin to feel what is not yours to feel. Supporting someone is saying, "I am here for you." Absorbing their stress is saying, "I will hurt with you." When you do that over and over, you lose track of what is yours and what is theirs. That confusion creates exhaustion. Think about it. How many times have you gone to bed at night worrying about a situation that wasn't even in your hands? How often do you feel drained after a conversation where someone else poured out their negativity? That drain is not from your own challenges. It comes from taking in energy that does not belong to you. You cannot live free if you constantly carry weight that is not yours to carry. To refuse this stress, you must build strong mental boundaries. Just like you lock the door of your home at night, you must learn to close the door of your mind. Not everyone's words or moods should enter. This does not mean you stop listening to people. It means you listen with clarity. You hear their struggles without letting those struggles take root inside you. You acknowledge their feelings without turning them into your own. That boundary is the difference between being supportive and being consumed. One powerful practice is to check in with yourself regularly. When you notice yourself feeling heavy, ask, "Is this my stress or someone else's?" Many times the answer will surprise you. You'll realize the frustration you're feeling came from a conversation earlier in the day. Or the anxiety in your chest came from hearing someone else's fear. Once you identify that the stress is not yours, you can release it. You can remind yourself, "This does not belong to me." That simple awareness can lift a massive weight. Another method is to limit exposure to constant negativity. Some people live in a cycle of stress, and they pass it on to anyone who listens. If you give them too much access to your mind, you will become a container for their problems. That doesn't help them, and it certainly doesn't help you. Choose how much time you spend with people who refuse to manage their own stress. If you cannot limit the time, then limit the emotional energy you give. Learn how to be present without being absorbed. You can listen, but you do not need to internalize. It is also essential to manage how much information you consume. In today's world, stress travels fast through media, news and endless notifications. If you open your mind to everything, you will carry worries about events you cannot control on the other side of the world. Caring about the world is good, but carrying every crisis as if it were your personal responsibility is not. You must filter what you allow into your mental space. Otherwise, you will drown in stress that never belonged to you in the first place. Refusing to absorb stress also means letting go of the need to fix everything. Many people feel responsible for solving other people's problems. They believe that if someone close to them is hurting, it is their job to take the pain away. But that is not always possible. You cannot live another person's life for them. You cannot walk their journey. What you can do is support, encourage and remind them of their strength. But you must stop believing that their stress must become your burden. Otherwise you end up weak. And when you are weak, you cannot truly help anyone. The discipline of separating what is yours from what is not takes time, but the rewards are enormous. Imagine how much lighter you would feel if you only carried your own strength. Imagine how much energy you would have left to pursue your goals, to enjoy your life, and to handle your responsibilities if you stopped picking up the problems of everyone around you. That freedom changes the way you live. A useful tool is vision. When you feel yourself absorbing someone else's stress, imagine placing an invisible shield around yourself. This shield does not block empathy or love. It only blocks unnecessary weight. It allows you to hear what someone says without letting their fear, anger, or anxiety enter into you. Practicing this visualizing can train your brain to naturally protect itself in stressful environments. It is also important to train your language. Words shape your emotions. When someone tells you about their problems, notice what you say to yourself afterward. Do you say, "Now I'm worried too"? Do you think this is going to affect me as well? Change that inner dialogue to something stronger. Like, "I care for them, but this is not mine to carry." By speaking to yourself with clarity, you remind your brain to release stress that does not belong to you. You must also stop rewarding people who constantly pass their stress on to you. If you always absorb, always react, always take on their problems, you become their outlet. They will keep coming back because you keep taking it in. Instead, model calmness. Show them that you can listen without collapsing. Teach them through your behavior that problems can be faced without transferring the pain onto others. When you refuse to absorb, you break the cycle. Pay attention also to your body. Stress that is not yours shows up physically. You may feel tension in your shoulders after a conversation. You may notice a heavy feeling in your chest after hearing complaints. You may find your thoughts racing after being around negative people. These are signs that you absorbed something. When you notice these signs, pause, breathe, and release. Do not carry it forward into the rest of your day. Your body will thank you for creating that release. Another practice is to replace absorption with action. If you find yourself feeling stressed from someone else's burden, instead of sitting in that stress, take a constructive step. Encourage them, offer a resource, or set a small boundary. Action creates movement, while absorption creates stagnation. By acting, you stay in your own power instead of drowning in what belongs to someone else. The most powerful reminder is this: you are not responsible for the emotional state of every person you meet. You are responsible for how you manage your own stress. When you take care of yourself, you show others what it looks like to live with strength. That example is more valuable than carrying their stress for them. People learn more from your calmness than from your exhaustion. Over time, you will see the transformation. You will walk away from draining conversations, still feeling light. You will face chaotic environments without losing your center. You will offer help without being pulled under by someone else's storm. That is what it means to refuse stress that does not belong to you. You become someone who can stand in the middle of pressure and remain steady. This change does not happen overnight, but every time you notice, every time you protect your energy, every time you release what is not yours, you grow stronger. Eventually it becomes natural. You no longer absorb automatically. You filter, you protect, You stay balanced, and people will notice. They will see that you are unshaken by their negativity. They will feel the difference in your presence. This is not selfishness. This is strength. Selfishness is ignoring others completely. Strength is caring for others, while also protecting yourself. Strength is knowing where you end and where they begin. Strength is being able to love people without letting their chaos live inside you. That is the kind of strength that creates peace. So commit to this today. Make a decision that you will no longer take ownership of what does not belong to you. Decide that your mind is your sanctuary, and only what serves you can stay inside it. Choose to offer compassion without carrying unnecessary. And remember that every time you refuse to absorb stress that is not truly yours, you build a life where peace and clarity guide your every step.
Chapter 4. Cut emotional ties to outcomes you cannot fully control. One of the hardest lessons in life is learning that no matter how much effort you put in, no matter how carefully you plan, and no matter how much heart you invest, outcomes are not fully in your control. You can give your best, but you cannot guarantee the result. You can speak with clarity, but you cannot decide how others will hear you. You can prepare for years, but circumstances outside your reach can still shape what happens. This truth is uncomfortable, but it is also liberating when you finally understand it. The suffering comes not from effort itself, but from being emotionally tied to the outcome you cannot command. If you want to stop letting things affect you, you must cut those ties and learn to focus on what is within your reach. Most people live with constant stress because they cling too tightly to results. They believe happiness will come only when things unfold exactly as they imagined. They set expectations for how a conversation should go, how a relationship should feel, how a career should progress, and when reality does not match the picture in their mind, they collapse inside. They feel defeated, disappointed, sometimes even broken. What they miss is that the outcome was never theirs to hold. The process, the effort, the action, those belong to you. The final result does not. You cannot control whether someone appreciates your hard work. You cannot control whether a job opportunity falls through. You cannot control whether someone responds with kindness or with rejection. And yet, people tie their self-worth, their peace, their energy to these things. The danger is that when the outcome doesn't match their hope, their confidence collapses. They see it as failure, when in truth it was just life playing out in ways beyond their reach. Cutting emotional ties to outcomes does not mean you stop caring, and it does not mean you stop trying. It means you learn to invest fully in the process, while letting go of the need to dictate the result. It means you learn to find fulfillment in your effort, not in the reaction of the world. When you understand this, you free yourself from endless cycles of disappointment. One of the greatest sources of inner peace is shifting your focus from outcome to action. Ask yourself, what can I actually control right now? You can control your attitude, you can control your preparation, you can control the effort you put in. These are yours and they are powerful. The rest, people's opinions, circumstances, unexpected events, are not yours. When you cut emotional ties to the pieces you cannot command, you give yourself space to stay balanced, no matter what happens. Think about how this plays out in relationship. You may give your best to someone, showing care, patience, and loyalty, but you cannot control whether they love you back, whether they stay, or whether they treat you the same way. If your emotions are tied to their actions, you hand them control of your peace. But if your focus is on being true to yourself, on showing love without expecting to own the outcome, you stay strong regardless of what they choose. That strength is freedom. This same principle applies to work. You can prepare, study, put in long hours, and sharpen your skills. That is your responsibility. But the promotion, the recognition, the applause, these are not guaranteed. If you tie your worth to them,
you will live in constant frustration. If you tie your worth to your growth and discipline, you will always feel steady, even when outcomes take time or arrive in unexpected forms. The mind loves to create stories about how things should go. It writes a script in advance, and then clings to that script. But life rarely follows that exact script. The more you demand that it does, the more you suffer. Cutting emotional ties means accepting that life will often surprise you. Some surprises will feel painful, some will feel like blessings, but all of them are part of the reality you must face. If you stop fighting reality and instead focus on your response, you will find peace that others cannot shake. A practical way to begin cutting ties is to practice detachment. Detachment is not indifference, it is clarity. It is saying, I will give my full effort, but I will not let my happiness depend on the final result. It is saying, I care deeply about this, but I will not collapse if it turns out differently than I hoped. This mental shift allows you to move through life with strength instead of fragility. Notice how often your mind attaches to outcomes. You hope someone praises you, and when they don't, you feel invisible. You hope your plan goes smoothly, and when it doesn't, you feel frustrated. Each of these is an attachment. By observing them, you gain power over them. You can say to yourself, I see the hope, I feel the expectation, but I will not tie my peace to it. Over time, this becomes a habit. You learn to enjoy the process itself, not just the imagined reward. Cutting ties also protects you from overthinking. Much of overthinking comes from replaying what you wanted to happen versus what actually happened. You replay conversations, wishing you had said something different. You replay decisions, wishing you had chosen another path. But all of this is wasted energy, because the outcome has already passed. When you cut emotional ties, you release the need to replay. You say, I gave my best, and that is enough. That mindset keeps your energy in the present, where it can actually create change. This practice requires courage. It is easier to live in the fantasy that you can control everything if you just try hard enough, but that fantasy only leads to exhaustion. Real courage is admitting I cannot control everything, but I can control myself. That honesty builds resilience. It allows you to face setbacks without falling apart, because you no longer see them as personal failures. You see them as part of the larger flow of life, and you keep moving forward. Another powerful tool is gratitude. When you are grateful for the effort you gave, for the lessons you learned, and for the strength you built along the way, outcomes lose their grip on you. Gratitude shifts your attention to what you have instead of what you lack. It creates a sense of fulfillment that no external result can take away. When you live in gratitude, even outcomes that do not match your hope can feel meaningful because they taught you something valuable. Think also about how much energy is wasted by worrying about future outcomes. People spend hours, days, sometimes years, stressing over what might happen. Most of those scenarios never even occur. By tying their emotions to imagined outcomes, they live in fear instead of in action. The cure is to bring your attention back to the present moment. Ask, what step can I take right now? That step is yours, the rest is not. And when you practice this, worry loses its power. Cutting emotional ties is not about lowering your standards. It is about raising your strength. You still aim high, you still dream big, you still set goals, but you do not let the result control your state of mind. You give your best, and then release. That release is not giving up, it is letting go of the illusion of control, and in that release, you find freedom. Imagine how much lighter your life would feel if you stopped carrying the pressure of outcomes you cannot command. Imagine being able to give your best to a project, and even if the recognition never comes, still feeling proud of your effort. Imagine loving someone deeply, and even if they do not return it, still standing firm in your own worth. Imagine pursuing a dream, and even if the path twists in ways you did not expect, still finding meaning in every step. That is what life looks like when you cut emotional ties to outcome. This is not easy, but it is necessary. The alternative is a life where every disappointment breaks you, every rejection crushes you, every twist of fate steals your peace. No one can live free under those conditions. But the moment you cut those ties, you take back your power. You are no longer tossed around by forces outside your reach. You are steady, you are grounded, you are in control of yourself. So the challenge is simple but powerful. Focus on what is yours and release the rest. Take ownership of your effort, your growth, your mindset. Release the need to own the outcome. That choice will give you a strength most people never discover. Because while the world is full of chaos, your inner world can remain calm. And when you live that way, nothing can truly affect you.
Chapter 5. Break free from the trap of always taking things personally. Taking things personally is one of the fastest ways to lose peace of mind. It turns simple moments into heavy burdens. Someone doesn't smile at you and suddenly you feel rejected. A coworker forgets to acknowledge your effort and you feel invisible. A stranger makes a rude remark and you carry it for days as if it defines who you are. When you make everything about yourself, you hand over your happiness to the moods, words, and actions of others. Breaking free from this trap is not about ignoring people. It's about learning to separate your identity from the way others behave. The reality is that most of the time, people's actions have very little to do with you. That rude driver on the road, they are probably stressed, late, or distracted. That colleague who seemed distant, they might be dealing with issues you know nothing about. That friend who cancelled plans, they may be struggling with their own priorities. But when you take it personally, you interpret all of it as proof that you are not good enough or not worthy of respect. You turn other people's behavior into evidence against yourself. That interpretation is what hurts, not the action itself. Breaking free begins with awareness. Start noticing when you feel offended or hurt. Pause and ask yourself, is this truly about me, or is this about them? 9 times out of 10, the behavior has more to do with their state of mind than with your value. By shifting your perspective in that moment, you stop letting someone else's behavior dictate your emotions. You reclaim the power to decide what matters. It's also important to examine why you take things personally in the first place. Often it comes from insecurity. When you doubt yourself, you look for external proof that confirms those doubts. If you secretly fear you are not good enough, every careless word feels like confirmation. If you worry that people don't respect you, every small slight feels like proof. When you build your self-worth from within, you no longer need constant approval to feel secure. Other people's opinions stop cutting so deep because you know your own value regardless of what they say or do. Another key to breaking free is to stop assuming the worst intentions. Many people jump to conclusions without evidence. Someone doesn't return a call right away and you think they're ignoring you. Someone doesn't compliment your work and you think they don't care. These assumptions feed unnecessary pain. Instead of assuming, choose to give people the benefit of the doubt. Replace "they must not value me" with "they might be busy or distracted." This shift in thinking saves you from carrying weight that was never yours to begin with. You also need to stop making yourself the center of every situation. People act based on their own history, beliefs, and emotions. Their world does not revolve around you, and neither should your interpretation of their actions. When someone is cold, it is usually about what they are going through, not about you. When someone criticizes, it often reflects their own frustrations, not your worth. The moment you stop making everything about yourself, you free yourself from constant disappointment. Detachment is another powerful practice. Detachment does not mean you stop caring. It means you care without clinging. You can listen to someone's opinion without needing it to define you.
You can face criticism without letting it crush your confidence. You can see rejection without turning it into a story about your inadequacy. Detachment gives you the distance to see clearly. You begin to realize that people's words are only reflections of their perspective, not ultimate truths about you. Think about how many conflicts are born from taking things personally. A misunderstanding turns into an argument because someone assumed offense where none was intended. A friendship ends because one person misread the other's behavior. A workplace becomes toxic because people interpret neutral feedback as personal attacks. By breaking free from this habit, you prevent unnecessary conflicts. You create space for calmness, understanding, and growth instead of drama. Another strategy is to train yourself to ask better questions. When you feel hurt, instead of asking, "Why did they treat me this way?" ask, "What might they be going through?" or "What else could this mean?" These questions shift your focus away from blame and toward perspective. They remind you that people act from their own struggles, not because of your worth. Asking better questions changes your emotional reaction and gives you control over your peace. Remember also that not all criticism is an attack. Sometimes people offer feedback that can help you grow, but if you take it personally, you miss the lesson. Instead of hearing, "Here is a way you can improve," you hear, "You are not good enough." The ability to separate useful feedback from personal offense is a mark of maturity. It allows you to keep growing without being crushed by every opinion. Self-talk plays a huge role here. When someone says something negative, what do you tell yourself afterward? Do you repeat their words in your mind until you believe them? Or do you remind yourself of your strengths and worth? Training your inner voice to be supportive rather than critical is one of the most powerful steps you can take. If your self-talk is strong, the words of others lose their ability to wound you. Breaking free also requires accepting that not everyone will like you, and that's okay. Trying to please everyone is impossible and exhausting. Some people will misunderstand you, dislike you, or even project their frustrations onto you. If you take this personally, you will spend your life chasing approval you can never fully have. Accept that being disliked or misunderstood is part of life. Focus instead on being true to your values and goals. When you live authentically, the right people will respect you, and the wrong people will no longer control you. It helps to practice shifting attention back to what matters. When you feel caught up in taking something personally, pause and redirect your energy toward your priorities. Work on your goals. Invest time in meaningful relationships. Take care of your health. The more focused you are on growth, the less room you have to dwell on what others say or do. Energy invested in building yourself leaves little left for unnecessary hurt. Another powerful tool is perspective. Through time, ask yourself, will this matter a week from now, a year from now, 5 years from now? Most of the things you take personally will not matter in the long run. They are small bumps in the road, not defining moments. By reminding yourself of this, you shrink the power of those moments. You stop magnifying them into something larger than they deserve to be. Breaking free from this trap also means learning to forgive quickly. Holding grudges is another form of taking things personally. You replay the hurt over and over, giving it more power than it deserves. Forgiveness is not about excusing someone's behavior. It is about releasing yourself from carrying their negativity. When you forgive, you choose freedom over bitterness. You choose peace over pain. You must also learn to build resilience through practice. Each time you refuse to take something personally, you grow stronger. Each time you choose to see someone's behavior as a reflection of them rather than of you, you train your mind to stay steady. Over time, you notice that things which once upset you no longer hold the same power. That progress is proof of your growth. Imagine what your life would feel like if you no longer carried offense at every turn. Imagine walking into work and not being shaken by someone's bad mood. Imagine facing criticism with curiosity instead of defensive. Imagine moving through your day, free from the constant weight of other people's actions. That life is possible when you break free from taking things personally. This change won't happen overnight, but with consistent practice, You can transform the way you experience life. You will begin to respond with calm instead of overreaction. You will stop wasting energy on assumptions and offense. You will save your focus for what truly matters. And most importantly, you will finally stop letting others control your emotions. Your worth is not up for debate. Your value is not determined by the moods of others. Your peace does not need to be sacrificed to every careless word. Breaking free from this trap is about protecting your spirit, your energy, and your future. It is about living as the strongest version of yourself. So make the decision today. When you feel that pull to take something personally, pause, breathe, and remind yourself, this is not about me. Each time you do, you cut another chain that has been holding you down. Eventually, you will stand tall, unshaken, and free. And in that freedom, you will find the strength to live fully, without being affected by what was never yours to carry in the first place. Chapter 6. Master the skill of staying neutral in heated situations. When emotions run high, most people lose their balance. Heated situations trigger the instinct to fight, defend, or lash out. Words are spoken that cannot be taken back. Reactions create damage that takes much longer to repair than the situation itself. This is why mastering the skill of staying neutral is one of the most powerful abilities you can develop. Neutrality does not mean weakness. It does not mean indifference. It means holding steady when others are losing control. It means keeping your mind clear when everyone else is clouded by emotion. Neutrality is a strength that allows you to guide situations instead of being dragged by them. Heated situations come in many forms. It may be an argument with a partner, a disagreement at work, or a confrontation with a stranger. In each case, the energy can escalate quickly. When someone raises their voice, your natural response is to raise yours. When someone attacks your character, your first instinct is to defend fiercely, but this instinct almost always makes things worse. You match their fire with your own, and the flames grow. By the end, nothing is solved, and both sides walk away hurt. Staying neutral interrupts this destructive cycle. It keeps the fire from spreading and allows resolution to become possible. Neutrality starts with mastering your own inner reactions. Heated situations create a surge of adrenaline. Your body tenses, your heart beats faster, and your thoughts race. If you let that wave carry you, you lose control. The first step is noticing what is happening in your body. Instead of reacting instantly, take a breath. Slow your voice. Relax your posture. These small physical cues send signals to your brain that you are safe and in control. The calmer your body, the calmer your mind, and when your mind is calm, you can stay neutral instead of being dragged into the storm. Another part of this skill is separating the problem from the emotion. In heated moments, people often argue about feelings rather than fact. They project anger, frustration, and hurt, and if you take the bait, you end up fighting emotions instead of addressing the real issue. Staying neutral means listening carefully for the core problem beneath the emotion. Instead of matching their tone, you focus on understanding what the situation is really about. That clarity allows you to respond wisely instead of reacting blindly. You also must let go of the need to win every argument. Heated situations often escalate because both sides are trying to prove they are right. But when your priority is to win, you lose perspective. You stop listening. You stop caring about resolution. All that matters is victory, and that makes neutrality impossible. The stronger choice is to prioritize peace over pride. You can still stand for what you believe, but you do so without making the moment about domination. Staying neutral allows you to protect your dignity without feeding unnecessary conflict. Consider also the power of tone. In heated conversations, tone often matters more than words. A calm tone can diffuse tension faster than any argument. When you speak slowly and evenly, you create a contrast to the chaos. You show through your voice that you are not here to escalate. People respond to tone on a subconscious level. Your calmness can influence the other person to lower their own intensity. In this way, neutrality becomes contagious. A key part of mastering neutrality is controlling your thoughts. Heated moments trigger negative interpretation. You may start telling yourself, they don't respect me, or they are against me. These thoughts fuel anger and make it harder to stay balanced. Instead, train yourself to think, this is their emotion, not my identity, or this is a challenge, not a threat. By reframing your inner dialogue, you prevent the negativity from entering your system. You give yourself the mental distance to remain steady. Staying neutral also requires resisting the temptation to mirror energy. When someone is aggressive, you want to be aggressive back. When someone is sarcastic, you want to match their sarcasm. But mirroring their energy only makes you a reflection of their chaos. True strength is choosing not to mirror. It is holding on to your own standard of behavior regardless of theirs. This is difficult, but transformative. Each time you refuse to match negativity, you reinforce your ability to stay neutral. Listening is another powerful tool. People escalate when they feel unheard. Sometimes staying neutral is as simple as giving them space to express themselves without interruption. You may not agree, but allowing them to speak can reduce their need to fight. By listening calmly, you send a message that you are not an enemy. You create an environment where resolution becomes possible instead of impossible. It is also important to choose your battle. Not every heated situation deserves your energy. Some arguments are not worth your peace. When you learn to identify which situations truly matter and which do not, neutrality becomes easier. You no longer waste energy on trivial fights. You save your strength for what truly requires it. This selective engagement is a sign of maturity. It shows that you are no longer controlled by every spark of conflict. Neutrality does not mean silence. Sometimes people confuse the two. Staying neutral does not mean you never speak up. It means you choose your words carefully. You express yourself with respect, even when the other person does not. You stand firm in your values without resorting to aggression. In this way, neutrality is active, not passive. It is a choice to communicate with strength instead of weakness. One of the deepest benefits of this skill is self-respect. When you look back on heated moments, regret often comes from realizing you lost control. You replay your words, your tone, your reactions, and wish you had handled it differently. By staying neutral, you prevent that regret. You walk away knowing you stayed true to yourself. That builds confidence and strengthens your self-image. Neutrality also preserves relationships. Heated moments can damage trust and create lasting wounds. Words spoken in anger cannot always be repaired, but when you stay neutral, you protect the bond. You create space for the relationship to recover instead of break. This does not mean you tolerate disrespect. It means you choose to handle it with strength instead of matching it with weakness. To train this skill, start with small moments. Practice staying neutral when someone cuts you off in traffic. Practice it when a cashier is rude. Practice it when minor inconveniences try to irritate you. These small exercises build the mental muscle you need for bigger situations. Over time, your ability to stay neutral grows automatic. You no longer fall into the trap of escalation. You become steady by default. You must also accept that neutrality is not about controlling the other person. You cannot decide how they will act. They may remain aggressive. They may refuse to calm down. But your strength lies in controlling yourself. Neutrality is about mastering your own state, not fixing theirs. The moment you internalize this, you stop being frustrated when others don't change. You focus only on your own response, and that alone is enough to protect your peace. Imagine the impact of living this way. Heated situations no longer drain you. Arguments no longer define your mood for the rest of the day. You walk into challenges confident that you can handle them without being shaken. People begin to respect you more because they see you cannot be easily provoked. Your reputation becomes one of strength, clarity, and composure. That is the power of neutrality. The truth is that life will never stop bringing conflict. People will disagree, stress will rise, tempers will flare. You cannot eliminate heated situations, but you can eliminate their power over you. By mastering neutrality, you rise above the chaos. You show that your peace is not negotiable. You prove to yourself that no one can pull you out of balance unless you allow it. This mastery requires patience, but every moment you practice brings progress. Each time you choose calm over escalation, you grow stronger. Each time you refuse to mirror negativity, you train your mind to lead instead of follow. Each time you remain neutral, you reinforce the truth that you are in control of your own life. Staying neutral in heated situations is not just a skill. It is a way of living. It is choosing strength over weakness, clarity over chaos, and peace over conflict. It is the decision to protect your energy no matter what storm surrounds you. And once you master it, you will never again be at the mercy of someone else's anger. You will walk steady, clear, and unshaken through even the most intense situation. That is the kind of power that changes your life forever.
Chapter 7. Stop feeding your anxiety by imagining the worst case. Anxiety grows strongest in the space between what is real and what is imagined. Most people who struggle with worry are not crushed by the present moment, but by the pictures their mind creates about what could go wrong. They imagine losing their job before it even happens. They imagine rejection before the conversation even begins. They imagine failure before they even take a single step. The mind paints a worst-case scenario, and then the body reacts as if it were true. The heart races, the chest feels heavy, sleep disappears, and peace becomes impossible. If you want to stop letting anything affect you, you must stop feeding your anxiety with fear-filled stories about the future. The first thing to understand is that the worst case almost never happens. You can look back at your life and notice this pattern. How many nights have you lost sleep over a worry that never became reality? How many times did you think the outcome would destroy you, only to find out later it was not nearly as bad as you imagined? The brain has a bias toward fear. It wants to keep you safe, so it creates exaggerated scenarios to prepare you for danger. But in today's world, most of those imagined dangers are not real threats. They are simply thoughts. And thoughts only have power when you feed them. When you constantly imagine the worst, you train your brain to live in fear. You are rehearsing failure in your mind. You are practicing defeat before you even step into the arena of life. And the more you repeat those images, the more your body believes them. Your nervous system responds to imagination almost the same way it responds to reality. That is why a negative thought can make your heart race or your stomach tighten. You are living a painful outcome in your mind long before it ever arrives, and sometimes it never arrives at all. The way to break this cycle is to start questioning your thoughts. When the worst case picture shows up, stop and ask yourself, is this true? Do I know for certain this will happen? Most of the time the answer will be no. Anxiety thrives on assumptions, not facts. By questioning the story, you create distance from it. You remind yourself that thoughts are not predictions, they are just possibilities, and possibilities are endless. You can choose to imagine a better one. Another step is to retrain your focus. The mind can only hold one picture at a time. If you fill it with disaster, you feel fear.
If you fill it with progress, you feel motivated. When you notice yourself imagining the worst, deliberately shift your attention to imagining a positive outcome instead. Ask yourself, what if this goes right? What if I succeed? What if this works out better than I thought? At first, this feels unnatural, because fear is the brain's default. But the more you practice, the more natural it becomes to think in terms of possibility instead of catastrophe. It is also helpful to bring yourself back to the present. Anxiety is always about the future. It is about what might happen, not what is happening. The present moment is usually manageable. Right now you are breathing. Right now you are safe. Right now you are capable of taking one small step. By grounding yourself in what is real, instead of what is imagined, you shrink anxiety's power. Simple practices like deep breathing, noticing your surroundings, or naming things you can see and hear pull you back into the now. And in the now there is almost never a worst case. There is only the next step. Another important point is that feeding anxiety often becomes a habit. People don't even realize they are doing it. They automatically imagine rejection when applying for a job. They automatically imagine judgment when speaking in public. They automatically imagine disaster when waiting for results. This automatic cycle can only be broken with awareness. You must begin noticing your thought patterns. Each time you catch yourself feeding a worst-case scenario, pause and redirect. That pause weakens the habit. That redirection creates a new pathway in the brain. Over time, the old habit fades, and a new one takes its place. It's also important to separate preparation from worry. Some people justify their anxiety by saying they are just preparing for the worst. But preparation is practical, while worry is destructive. Preparation says, I will take steps to be ready. Worry says, I will replay the problem endlessly, without taking action. One strengthens you, the other weakens you. If you are truly preparing, you feel calmer, because you know you are ready. If you are just worrying, you feel drained, because you are doing nothing but imagining. The key is to stop mistaking worry for preparation. Preparation ends with action. Worry ends with exhaustion. You can also learn to reduce anxiety by managing your environment. Being surrounded by negativity fuels your imagination with more material for worst-case thinking. If you spend time with people who always complain or expect failure, your mind will mirror their outlook. If you constantly consume negative news, your imagination will always jump to disaster. Protecting your mental environment is essential. Feed your mind with encouraging voices, inspiring stories, and reminders of progress. Surround yourself with people who see possibilities instead of only problems. This shifts your imagination away from fear and toward hope. Another powerful practice is writing your thoughts down. When your anxiety is stuck in your head, it feels endless. But when you put it on paper, you see it for what it is, a collection of words and images. Write out the worst-case scenario that's haunting you, and then challenge it. Ask, what evidence do I have this will happen? What other outcome is possible? What small step can I take right now to move forward? This exercise takes the fear out of the shadows and into the light, where it loses much of its power. Physical habits also matter. Anxiety feeds off a restless body. If you are sleep-deprived, inactive, or constantly tense, your brain is more likely to create fearful stories. But if you move your body, rest properly, and release tension, your mind calms down. Simple activities like walking, exercising, or stretching release built-up stress and signal safety to your brain. A calm body supports a calm mind, and a calm mind does not run to the worst case as quickly. Another key idea is acceptance. Often, people fight their anxiety with resistance. They say, I shouldn't feel this way, or I need to stop these thoughts immediately. That resistance creates more pressure, which increases the anxiety. Instead, acknowledge the thought without judgment. Say to yourself, this is just my mind imagining again. Then let it pass. When you stop wrestling with the thought, it loses strength. Acceptance is not surrender, it is simply refusing to fuel the fire with resistance. You must also remember that you are stronger than your worst case imagination. Even if the worst happened, you have faced challenges before and survived. You have overcome obstacles that once felt impossible. The same strength would rise again if you needed it. Reminding yourself of your resilience weakens the fear. It tells your brain, even if it doesn't go as planned, I will handle it. This belief takes away the power of worst-case thinking, because you no longer see it as the end, you see it as something you could overcome if needed. The freedom from anxiety comes not from eliminating every fearful thought, but from refusing to feed them. The thought may still appear, but you do not need to water it with attention. You do not need to rehearse it 1,000 times. You do not need to let it dictate your mood. You can let it come and let it go, and then direct your energy toward building something real. That is the practice of mastery. Imagine how different your life would feel if you no longer rehearsed failure every day. Imagine applying for opportunities with confidence instead of dread. Imagine facing conversations without carrying the weight of imagined rejection. Imagine walking into challenges believing in possibility instead of being crippled by fear. That life is not far away. It begins the moment you stop feeding your anxiety. Anxiety will always try to visit, but you decide whether it stays. It knocks on the door of your mind with worst-case pictures. If you keep inviting it in, it will take over your house. If you acknowledge it and then close the door, it passes by. This choice is yours every single day, and each time you choose not to feed it, you build a stronger, calmer and more resilient mind. The truth is, life is too short to live inside fears that never come true. The energy you waste on imagining disaster could be used to build dreams. The hours you spend replaying worst-case stories could be spent creating progress. Every moment you give to anxiety is a moment stolen from your growth. The way to take back your life is simple but powerful. Stop feeding the worst-case scenario and start nourishing the possibility of the best.
Chapter 8. Reprogram your focus to notice progress, not problems. The way you feel about your life has less to do with your circumstances and more to do with what you choose to focus on each day. Two people can go through the exact same experience and walk away with entirely different attitudes. One notices everything that went wrong, while the other notices every small step forward. The difference is focus. The human brain is naturally wired to look for problems because it has evolved to detect threats. That instinct kept people alive long ago, but today it keeps people stressed, negative and blind to their own growth. If you want to stop letting life affect you so deeply, you must reprogram your focus to notice progress instead of problems. When your attention is constantly on problems, your mind believes life is nothing but difficulty. You can accomplish 10 things in a day, but if one issue arises, you spend your energy thinking about the problem. You could be making slow and steady progress toward a goal, but if it's not perfect yet, you convince yourself nothing is working. That habit of problem-focused thinking drains your motivation. It creates the illusion that life is only struggle, when in reality, progress is happening all around you. Reprogramming your focus begins with retraining your awareness. You must start deliberately asking yourself where your attention is going. When you catch yourself dwelling on what is wrong, pause and ask, what is going right? This simple question interrupts the automatic cycle of negativity. It forces your mind to look for signs of progress, however small they may be. Over time, this shift rewires your brain to naturally notice what is working instead of obsessing over what isn't. Progress is often quiet. It does not always announce itself with loud victories or dramatic breakthroughs. It shows up in small habits, small steps, and small improvements that accumulate over time.
The problem is that most people are so focused on what still isn't perfect that they miss the little signs of growth. You may not have reached your goal yet, but if you are more consistent today than you were last month, that is progress. You may still face challenges, but if you handle them with more calm than you did before, that is progress. You may not be exactly where you want to be, but you are further along than you were yesterday, and that deserves recognition. Another way to reprogram your focus is to create a system of tracking your wins. Each day, take a few minutes to write down the progress you made. It could be as small as completing a task you've been avoiding, or as big as hitting a milestone. By recording these wins, you build evidence that life is moving forward. On difficult days, you can look back and remind yourself that progress is real, even if problems try to dominate your attention. This habit builds resilience because it shifts your perspective from lack to growth. It is also important to understand that problems will never disappear completely. Life will always present challenges. If you wait for a problem-free existence before allowing yourself to feel content, you will be waiting forever. The truth is, you can experience peace even in the middle of challenges if you learn to focus on progress. Problems are temporary roadblocks. Progress is the direction you are moving. When you choose to focus on progress, problems lose their power to define your life. Consider how this mindset affects relationships. If you constantly notice flaws in the people around you, you will always feel dissatisfied. But if you notice the ways they are trying, the small acts of care, the moments of effort, your relationships grow stronger. In the same way, when you only focus on your partner's mistakes, you create distance. When you acknowledge their progress, you build connection. What you choose to see shapes the way you feel. The same applies to your own self-image. If you only focus on what you haven't achieved, you will always feel like a failure. But if you recognize the progress you have made, you build confidence. You shift from feeling inadequate to feeling capable. This is not about ignoring problems, but about balancing your perspective. Problems may exist, but so does progress. When you train yourself to notice it, your motivation increases, your mood improves, and your resilience strengthens. Reprogramming your focus also requires patience. Progress is not always fast. Sometimes growth is slow and subtle. If you are only looking for big leaps, you will miss the small steps that make them possible. Patience allows you to celebrate small victories without demanding immediate perfection. It reminds you that real change takes time, and every step counts. Another powerful practice is gratitude. Gratitude naturally shifts your focus toward progress, because it highlights what is already good. Each time you express gratitude for something, you remind your mind to notice the positive instead of the negative. This practice rewires your brain to scan your environment for what is working instead of what is broke. Over time, gratitude becomes a filter that helps you see growth and blessings even when life feels hard. It is also valuable to limit how much energy you spend on complaining. Complaining trains your brain to magnify problems. The more you talk about what's wrong, the more attention you give it, and the more dominant it becomes in your mind. Replace complaining with constructive thinking. Instead of repeating what is wrong, ask yourself what you can do next. This shifts your focus from problem obsession to solution orientation, which naturally aligns with progress. One of the deepest truths is that you find what you are looking for. If you look for problems, you will find them. If you look for progress, you will find the world contains both at all times. Your experience depends on which you choose to focus on. This is why reprogramming your focus is not just a mental trick. It is a way of reshaping your entire life. By choosing to see progress, you create a reality where you feel encouraged, hopeful, and strong. To put this into practice, start small. At the end of each day, ask yourself, "What did I do today that moved me forward?" Write down the answers, no matter how small. Over weeks and months, you will build a long list of progress. That list will remind you that growth is happening even on days when problems try to steal the spotlight. With time, your brain will naturally shift toward noticing progress, without you even trying. Imagine how much lighter your life would feel if you focused more on progress than problems. Imagine waking up each morning and remembering how far you've come instead of obsessing about how far you have to go. Imagine walking through challenges with the awareness that even small steps forward are victories. That is the power of reprogramming your focus. This shift does not mean problems disappear, but it does mean they no longer dominate your reality. You still address them when necessary, but they do not control your emotions. Your main attention is on growth, improvement, and movement. That is what gives you energy. That is what builds your strength. That is what makes you unshakable in the face of difficulty. Life will always offer you two choices, to dwell on what is wrong or to recognize what is right. Every day you make that choice, and that choice shapes your experience. The more you choose progress, the more empowered you feel. The more you choose progress, the more resilient you become. And the more you choose progress, the less anything outside of you can truly affect your peace. So train your mind to notice the small steps, celebrate the improvements, recognize the effort, honor the growth. When you make this your habit, problems shrink, progress shines, and your life transforms into a journey of steady, unstoppable growth. Chapter 9. Detach from daily noise by creating mental stillness daily. Everywhere you go, noise follows you. The constant buzz of conversations, the endless updates on your phone, the pressure of deadlines, the expectations of family, and the opinions of strangers all compete for your attention. Even when you try to rest, the mind replays unfinished tasks, past arguments, and imagined worries. It feels like the world never quiets down. But the real problem is not the external noise, it is the fact that most people never learn how to detach from it. They let it invade their minds until they are exhausted, distracted, and restless. If you want to protect your peace and stop letting everything affect you, you must create mental stillness every single day. Mental stillness is not about isolating yourself from the world or living without responsibility. It is about building an inner space that remains calm no matter how loud life becomes. It is the practice of saying, "The world may shout, but inside I will remain steady." This is not something that happens automatically. You must deliberately detach from the noise each day. Otherwise, your mind becomes a dumping ground for everything around you. The first step is to recognize the cost of constant noise. When your mind is filled with distractions, you lose clarity. You find it hard to focus on what truly matters, because every thought is interrupted by another demand. You lose energy because noise drains your mental strength. You lose peace because you never give your brain the chance to settle. Living in noise all the time is like trying to see your reflection in water that is always stirred up. Until you create stillness, you will never see yourself clearly. One of the most powerful ways to detach is to create moments of intentional silence. This means turning off the television, putting the phone down, stepping away from endless conversations, and simply sitting in quiet. At first, it may feel uncomfortable because you are so used to noise, but the discomfort is proof that you need it. Over time, silence becomes not an absence of sound, but a presence of peace. In silence, your mind rests, your thoughts organize, and your emotions settle. Breathing is another gateway into mental stillness. When life feels overwhelming, your breathing becomes shallow and quick, which only fuels the feeling of chaos. By slowing down your breath, you send a message to your nervous system: I am safe, I am calm. Even a few minutes of focused breathing can quiet the noise in your head. Each slow inhale and exhale creates space between you and the outside world. In that space, you find clarity. Another practice is to spend time in nature. Daily life surrounds you with artificial noise, machines, notifications, and chatter. Nature offers a different rhythm. The sound of wind, the sight of trees, the rhythm of waves, or even just the sky above you helps reset your nervous system. Being outside reminds you that life is bigger than the demands of the moment. It gives you perspective, and perspective quiets the unnecessary noise. Stillness can also be created through writing. When your mind feels cluttered, put your thoughts on paper. Writing them down takes them out of your head and organizes them where you can see them. This release reduces the noise because it prevents your thoughts from spinning endlessly inside. Some people do this in a journal, others by simply jotting down what they are feeling. The goal is not perfection, it is release. When your mind is no longer holding everything, stillness has room to grow. Detaching from noise also requires setting boundaries with technology. The modern world thrives on keeping you plugged in, but constant notifications keep your brain on edge. If you never unplug, you never truly rest. Choose times each day when you disconnect from screens. Protect your mornings by not starting the day with social media. Protect your nights by shutting off devices before bed. These small boundaries train your mind to settle instead of always expecting stimulation. Meditation is another powerful tool for creating mental stillness. You do not need to be an expert or sit for hours. Even a few minutes of sitting quietly, focusing on your breath, and observing your thoughts without judgment can make a difference. Meditation teaches you to detach from noise by showing you that thoughts can come and go without needing to control them. Over time, your mind learns to stay calm, even when the world around you is chaotic. Another practice is learning to say no. Many people live in noise because they agree to too many demands. Every yes adds more voices to your mind, more responsibilities, more opinions, more obligations. But not every request deserves your energy. Saying no is not selfish, it is necessary. Each no creates space for stillness. Each no protects your focus. Each no strengthens your ability to live in alignment with what matters most. Mental stillness is also strengthened by gratitude. Noise thrives on dissatisfaction. It constantly tells you what you lack, what is wrong, what needs fixing. Gratitude quiets that voice by reminding you of what is already good. When you pause to notice the things you are thankful for, the noise loses volume. Gratitude centers you in the present moment, which is always quieter than the imagined chaos of the future. You can also create rituals that signal your mind to detach. For some, it may be making tea and drinking it slowly without distraction. For others, it may be a walk at the same time each day. Rituals work because they train your mind to associate certain actions with calm. The more you repeat them, the faster your brain knows it is time to let go of noise. It is important to understand that mental stillness does not mean the absence of thought. Your mind will always generate thoughts. Stillness is about not letting those thoughts control you. It is the ability to watch them pass without attaching to them. This shift takes practice, but once you learn it, you discover freedom. The thoughts can come, but they do not disturb your peace. Consider how different your life would feel if you created stillness each day. Instead of waking up overwhelmed, you would begin your mornings with clarity. Instead of being drained by endless distractions, you would move through your day with focus. Instead of ending your nights restless, you would sleep with a calm mind. This is not a distant dream. It is available to you the moment you commit to detaching from noise. The truth is that the world will never stop being noisy. People will keep talking. Notifications will keep buzzing. Problems will keep appearing. But you do not need to absorb it all. You can choose to step back, create silence, and build an inner sanctuary of calm. That sanctuary becomes your greatest strength. Because when the noise cannot reach you, nothing outside can control your peace. This is why mental stillness must become a daily practice, not an occasional escape. If you only seek quiet once in a while, the noise will reclaim its power. But if you build stillness into your routine, it becomes your natural state. You begin to live with clarity, even in the middle of chaos. You begin to respond with strength instead of reacting with stress. You begin to carry peace with you everywhere. Detaching from daily noise is not about running away from life. It is about living life with more power, more clarity, and more intention. It is about refusing to let the outside world dictate your inner world. It is about choosing every day to return to yourself, to your breath, to your scent. That choice gives you control. That choice gives you freedom. That choice ensures that no matter how loud the world becomes, your mind remains still, steady, and unshakable.
Chapter 10. Claim your inner strength and decide what defines you. Life gives you endless chances to doubt yourself. From the moment you wake up, you are faced with messages, comparisons, expectations, and pressures that try to tell you who you are and what you are worth. People will put labels on you based on what they think, based on what they see, or based on what they don't understand about you. Society will measure you by money, status, looks, and achievements. Situations will test you with failure, loss, and rejection. But none of those things have the right to define you unless you hand that power away. Claiming your inner strength and deciding what defines you is the most important choice you will ever make. It is the choice to live on your own terms rather than being shaped by outside forces. Your inner strength is not something you need to search for in the world. It has been within you since the beginning. Every time you survived difficulty, every time you pushed through fear, every time you stood back up after being knocked down, that was your strength. The problem is not that you lack strength, it is that you forget it. You let fear drown it out, you let doubt cover it, you let the opinions of others bury it. To claim your inner strength is to uncover what has always been there and to live from it intentionally. Deciding what defines you means you stop letting external voices decide your identity. Too many people live like mirrors, reflecting back whatever others say about them. If someone criticizes them, they feel small. If someone praises them, they feel worthy. Their entire sense of self shifts depending on who they are with and what they hear. This is why they feel unstable. But when you decide what defines you, you stop being a mirror. You become a foundation. Your worth no longer rises and falls with the moods of others. Ask yourself, what do I want to be known for? What qualities do I want to guide my life? These are the things that define you. Not your mistakes, not your struggles, not your circumstances. You may fail at a project, but failure does not define you unless you let it. You may go through hardship, but hardship does not define you unless you wear it like a label. You may be misunderstood, but misunderstanding does not define you unless you surrender to it. You define you. You decide the story you live by. The first step to claiming inner strength is to stop waiting for permission. Many people live small because they are waiting for someone to tell them they are enough. They wait for validation from parents, approval from peers, or recognition from society. But permission will never come in the way you want it. No one else can hand you your strength. You must choose to step into it without waiting for a nod from others. The moment you stop waiting is the moment you start living. You also claim your strength by refusing to be reduced to your past. Everyone has mistakes, regrets, and chapters of life they wish they could rewrite. But if you carry those chapters as your definition, you will always feel stuck. The truth is, your past explains you, but it does not define you. You are more than your worst moment. You are more than the opinions formed about you years ago. Claiming strength means deciding that your past is a teacher, not a prison. It shaped you, but it does not decide who you become. Another part of this process is embracing responsibility. Strength is not just about toughness, it is about ownership. When you claim responsibility for your choices, your habits, and your growth, you stop being a victim.
you stop blaming circumstances or people for where you are. Victimhood takes away your power, but responsibility gives it back. By saying, I will decide how I respond, I will decide what I build, I will decide who I become, you stand in your strength. Clarity is also vital. If you don't clearly decide what defines you, the world will decide for you. Society will tell you it's money. Strangers will tell you it's appearance. Workplaces will tell you it's productivity. But you can decide something deeper. You can decide that you will be defined by resilience, by kindness, by discipline, by integrity. When you choose these qualities, you anchor your life to values that cannot be taken away. Money can be lost, looks can fade, jobs can change, but values remain steady. That is why they must be the core of your definition. Strength also comes from refusing to hand control of your identity to other people. People may misunderstand you, misjudge you, or underestimate you. Let them. Their perspective does not diminish your reality. You do not need to fight every misunderstanding or defend yourself against every opinion. The more you try to control what others think, the weaker you become, because you are basing your worth on their approval. Real strength is quiet. It does not need constant defense. It simply knows what it is. To decide what defines you, you must also silence the inner critic. The harshest voice is often not from outside but from within. That voice tells you that you're not enough, that you're failing, that you don't measure up, but that voice is built from years of conditioning. It is not truth. You can choose a different voice. You can replace I can't with I can try. You can replace I'm not good enough with I'm growing every day. You can replace I always fail with I keep learning. The voice you feed becomes the voice that defines you. Your strength is also claimed through discipline. Motivation is fleeting, but discipline is steady. Each time you keep a promise to yourself, you reinforce your strength. Each time you follow through on a goal, even when it's hard, you remind yourself that you can rely on you. This builds self-respect, and self-respect is the deepest form of strength. When you respect yourself, no one else's disrespect can shake you. Another powerful truth is that strength is not about being unaffected by pain. It's about refusing to be broken by it. You will face loss, failure, and disappointment. But strength is what carries you through. When you decide that pain will not define you, you transform it into fuel. You use it to grow instead of allowing it to shrink you. This shift separates those who remain stuck from those who rise. Consider what your life would look like if you fully claimed your inner strength. Imagine walking into situations without fear of judgment, because you know your worth is not up for debate. Imagine facing setbacks without crumbling, because you know setbacks are temporary. Imagine no longer being tossed around by other people's opinions, because you know who you are. That is the freedom that comes when you decide what defines you. The truth is that life will always test you. You will be challenged, doubted, criticized, and misunderstood. But if you have already decided what defines you, those tests cannot break you. They can pressure you, but they cannot shape you. You stand rooted in the qualities you chose for yourself, and in that rootedness, you find peace. Your task now is to decide. Write down the qualities you want to define you. Do you want to be defined by courage, by perseverance, by honesty, by compassion? Choose them consciously, then live them daily. Each action reinforces your decision. Each choice builds your definition. And soon the world will no longer tell you who you are. You will show the world through how you live. This is the ultimate power, to claim your inner strength and to decide what defines you. Once you have done that, you cannot be shaken by circumstances, by opinions, or by failures. You walk through life with certainty. You know who you are, and that knowledge makes you unshakable. Because in the end, the only true definition of you is the one you give yourself.